You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Just for a moment, I just want to catch your attention and maybe just inspire you just how amazing this armour is. And we're actually down to week five, but we're on the fourth part of the armour because we had an introduction. It's Ephesians 6. If you want to see where the armour of God is in the bond of the Bibles, it's in Ephesians 6 towards the end. And Ephesians 6:16 says this. We've looked at a belt so far. We've looked at a breastplate. We've looked at feet that were shod with the gospel of peace, it says. And you can listen to more of these messages online if you want to. But this week, we're up to this. Ephesians 6:16. It said, in addition to these other things, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I'm going to dive straight into this week because our time is fairly limited, but we want to hear from God and we want to get into the juicy bits. So I'm going to unpick a little bit of these things here. What is faith all about? What is this shield? What are the fiery arrows? What does that all mean? And we'll try and unpick this really briefly. Now, faith, and I believe the faith that's being talked about here is not one of these blind faiths. You know, sometimes we talk about faith and it's like a leap into the dark or one of those faiths where who's ever stood on one of those high diving boards and you've looked down, you don't see the surface of the water, do you? You see the bottom, which is like another 20 feet further down as well. And you kind of go, ooh, and you just go, I'm going to jump. I don't know if I can even do this. And sometimes we talk about faith as just this leap into the dark. I don't know what might happen. And sometimes there is that kind of faith. But the faith that I think is speaking about here is not the faith that speaks about leaping into the dark, but actually stepping into the light. And that's the faith that I think we're going to unpack just for a moment this morning. Now, I don't know about you, when you talk about faith, how many people here have got one of those faith stories where you actually did something? You did it because you know it was going to happen, but maybe those around you didn't. Have you got any stories like that? Yes, brother. It's really good. Think of those stories, you know, where you knew something for certain, but nobody else did, and you went with it. We were sailing once, so we used to sail a lot. We used to live by the sea. Can't get much further from the sea here in Coventry. And we took a month off and we sailed around the south coast of England and we were sailing up to the east coast of England. And as we were actually going out of Dover, there was a storm and it was quite a big storm. You remember this storm now, don't you? Yeah. And as we left, I knew that with wind over tide, it makes the waves go very big and very choppy. And actually on the east coast, they're not these big rolling Atlantic things. They're these short, sharp, nasty things that you feel like you're driving into a wall every 30 seconds or 20 seconds. But these were quite big, nasty, sharp waves. And as we left Dover, I knew that the weather forecast was saying that at 1 o'clock, it's going to be sunny. And the weather forecast is always right, of course. I also knew that the tide was changed. Now, I know the tide will change. It always changes. I can guarantee when the tide is going to come up and go down. And I knew that with the direction of the wind and the change of the tide, that these nasty waves would disappear and it would be nice. Now, Nikki wasn't so sure. And actually, as we left, and we were going up and down quite a bit, actually. And actually, the anchor fell off the front of the boat and nearly smashed a hole, but that's another story. But we carried on through, and literally about 12:30, you could see on the horizon where that line in the sky comes. It's all grey clouds, and then there's the blue sky. And as it came over and the tide changed, we went from full waterproofs, clipped onto the boat, going through this stuff with your hair up everywhere, to going, ooh, well, we better get the bathers on then, hadn't we? And it was flat calm and dead quiet. Now, I knew that that was what was going to happen. And I've experienced it lots of times before. And actually, some people, like Nikki, she took a step of faith in that moment. Said, well, actually, I trust Darren knows what he's talking about. In a sense, for me, I knew that that's how these things generally panned out. Even if the wind or the sun didn't come out, the wind died down, the sun, I knew it would still be calmer. For those on the shore, they'd have looked and said, who are those idiots in that boat that's bouncing up and down. Someone with no knowledge at all would go, you're never going to catch me on one of those things. You know, I get seasick in the bath kind of people, you know, that kind of stuff. But this was a faith where I knew something and I knew I could press into that. And I don't know if you've got stories about that. If we looked in the Bible, if you were to look in Luke 7, the centurion there, and he's got his servant, and that person is ill. And the centurion knows, and he says, Jesus, if you speak that word, I know, I have faith that that person will be healed. I know this because I've seen something of you, Jesus. I've seen how you work, and I've got, you can read the whole story, but I know when I say something, those below me will do it. And I recognize who you are. And when you speak this, when you say it will happen. And that's the kind of faith I think I'm looking at here. David and Goliath as well. Bear in mind, we're talking about armor. You remember the lovely story of David? I could just imagine him like when he puts dad's shoes on you, or you put the boots on. This poor David, he's not a particularly big chap. And they've put all this stupid armor on him to go and fight Goliath. And it's like he can't even move. I think I've seen some of these with the kids where they put the armor on and he just kind of, and he falls backwards. David knew something. God had spoken to David. God had given David his word, and David stepped out to do something that everybody else thought was insane. You've got no armor on. How are you going to fight this giant? But David knew something, and I think that's the kind of faith that we're talking about this morning. This kind of faith is based upon facts and not feelings. What sort of facts? Well, actually, it might be that you know somebody or know something about it. It might be some relational facts. It might be that you've got some knowledge about something, like the wind and the waves or whatever it might be. It might be that you've got some biblical knowledge and you actually say, well, this is the character of God. I know this is how he works. He is reliable. He is unchanging. So I know I can put my trust and my faith in him. And in our context of the message today, we're talking about truth, and actually truth was one of these belts that we put on. We demonstrated that in a way I'm not going to go into this morning, but it did make me laugh at the time. Those that were here will remember. But truth is important. Without truth, if we don't know the truth, then we can trip up over all sorts of things. Psalm 28:7 says this, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And I was thinking of you guys as this was, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And this has kind of been said already. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. Do you know that to be true? It's written here, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I shall praise him. You see, when I was sailing and the sun came out, and the sea calmed. Everybody on the boat did leap for joy in that moment. For the centurion, it says here in Hebrews 11, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Think about that for a moment. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The centurion understood the authority that Jesus had. He had confidence in that and believed if Jesus was who he says he was, he knew Jesus could speak and it would happen. He recognizes Jesus' power and authority. And I think with David as well, it's trying to tie both of those verses together. David had trust, but he also had confidence. He knew when he had the ability as a young man to sort those lions out that would come around with his little slingshot. I know how to get those lions. Pretty good shot with that. Goliath, well, he's not as fast as lions, is he? Easy target, quite big as well. You know, he had confidence. Bigger enemy, bigger target. Come on, David had confidence in what he already knew. And faith as well comes from learning or hearing. You might be somebody, or you might have heard somebody say, well, I've got a lack of faith. But sometimes a lack of faith actually just comes from a lack of teaching or lack of knowing something. It's not necessarily anybody's fault, but if you don't know about something, you don't necessarily feel very confident in it. It's quite a simple thing, really. It's not to trip anybody up. It's not rocket science. But actually, when you know stuff, when you have good teaching, then you can have confidence in that good teaching and your faith grows. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is where our confidence comes. And actually, it's a good challenge. I like to throw questions out. Do you listen to God? Do you listen to him? Do you read his word daily? Question, when you read his word, are you teachable? If you think how you're behaving is maybe not right, or if you didn't know what you were doing was not right, would you like somebody to come along and tell you? And when someone tells you, are you teachable in that moment? It's sometimes tough for a church to do that. It's tough for brothers and sisters sometimes to say, hey, is this really the way that God is leading you? Is there maybe a step that you need to take in order to honor God and bless him? Or would you rather be left unchecked or unchallenged? Do you want to go through this life just saying, oh, nobody told me? You know, the worst thing I think about looking back at my childhood is that I got to 20-something and nobody had told me about Christ. Nobody. And when someone actually bothered to sit down and say, Darren, this is what the good news is all about, I'm like, why has nobody told me? And do you know the first thing I did? I went and told my best friend instantly. I was on the phone. Will, you've got to hear this good news. It's awesome. He said, yeah, I know. Yeah. I heard that when I was 14. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? This is like the best news ever. He didn't tell me. I'm not judging him, by the way. We're good friends. But isn't it interesting? But I just couldn't believe this was so good. It was so true. And I just had to tell everybody. If our faith is placed in Jesus and not myself, not what I know, but Jesus is that benchmark. He's the one that I look to. Then I hopefully will start to look like Jesus and sound like him. I don't know if he had a big beard like this or not. He's probably got a neater beard like yours. But I want to look and I want to sound like Jesus. And that should be every day. I've got to be teachable, my heart open to say, correct me and lead me on. I want to strive toward those things. I want to be more like him and less like me. I know what I'm like. You don't want to know what I'm like. But that bit, I reject that and I put that down and I say, I want to follow Christ. And I have faith to believe that the God who leads me on, he is the one that will take hold of those broken things and he will turn them into something beautiful. And it's not just change. We use the word change sometimes. People don't like change. But transformation. You know, I am transformed from the person that I used to be. And he's not finished with me yet. And I want to know more about this God. I want to find out more about him. I want to be more like him. So let's quickly, just briefly with our time that we've got left together, look at these fiery arrows. It talks about fiery arrows or Satan's fiery darts. And we're going to get onto the shield and stuff in a minute. But what are these fiery darts? What are these tests that might come on our marriage? What are the things that might get fired at our marriages? What are those things that get fired at us individually? Whether it's some sort of temptation, whether it's, and Ray, you spoke a lot of words there, but whether it's the opposite of those things, whether it's arrows of impurity, whether it's arrows of selfishness even, doubt, fear, disappointment, lust, greed, vanity. What are these things? Covetousness, that's a word. Who used the word covetousness this week? It's not a word we use very often, isn't it? But actually, who looked at their mate's phone and went, oh, I wish I had one like that? You don't, okay, fair enough. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, that pride in life that is mentioned in 1 John 2. And see, the fiery arrows are more dangerous than just arrows. You see, when you fire an arrow at something, okay, that's the initial attack. But the thing with a fiery arrow was, is as it hits and it kind of explodes and it splatters, all of these bits of tar or whatever it is, it's all alive, it explodes and it goes everywhere. The first attack comes and you go, yeah, sort it out. But when it splatters off and it splatters around, it can cause real damage, not just to you, but to others around you. And this is why the shield is quite important. I did look for some videos of shields and I ended up on, who's ever seen that film 300? You seen that film 300? It's quite gory film, actually. I was quite surprised as I looked a bit further. But there's these guys, and there's a lovely scene where all these arrows get fired up into the air, and as they go up, they get darker as they start to come down. They've all got their shields, and they put their shields up. But they were little round shields. And actually, the shield that's spoken about here, the root word comes from meaning a big door. So this shield is like a big door. And actually, Adrian, we got you dressed up, didn't we? You were a fine-looking fella in that suit of armour that we had. And actually, the guy that lent us the stuff said, no, you can't have one of these little round shields. This thing's like a door. It's big, and it protects the whole body. And it doesn't just protect you, because when you are joined up with brothers and sisters as well, it can create a wall, and it can go right up and over. And more than that, it's something that can use to push the enemy back as well. But these things were made of wood. And wood and fiery arrows, what do you think happens? They catch fire. Yeah, they can burn. So these things, by all accounts, from what I've read here, they were covered with a piece of material, and that material was made wet. So when the fiery arrows came in, they were actually extinguished. This shield would put that out. And I was quite taken about this shield, because obviously if that shield needs to be wet, I don't know about you, but certainly on a sunny day when you make something wet, it doesn't seem 5 minutes before it's dried up. So there's something here about this continual process of this shield that I've got and keeping this shield prepared and ready. Wet shields extinguish fiery arrows so they don't have further effects. So essentially, you've turned that fiery arrow into just a normal arrow. I want you to think about this just for a second. This was an illustration that I've nabbed off somewhere else, and I just thought it was quite a nice way of looking at fiery darts and going right back to that very first fiery dart that you'll read in Genesis. Genesis 3, and Genesis 3 talks about the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now here the question is not just a question, it's a fiery dart, because it carries something extra with it. It carries that thing of doubt. Doubt about God. And I must admit, this made me smile, because I never thought about this before. The writer here says, think for a moment how different things would have been if Eve had said, "Well, I don't know, let's ask him." I never thought about that. Why didn't she go, "I don't know, good question, let's go and ask him"? But that didn't happen. You see, the illustration shows us that faith is not just getting a ticket to heaven here, but the barricade, that shield, is a barricade against the destructive things of evil in this world. And I don't need to mention all that's happened here in Tile Hill this last week. You know, we've lost another young person to knife crime. Evil is prevalent in our communities. We don't need to go and look for it. It is there. And I believe what the writer is saying to us here, what Paul is saying, is that faith is key to extinguishing the fiery darts. Faith that is built upon truth. Do you really know what God's word says? And if you know what it says, do you know that it's true? When we started reading this series, we read that Paul started with the belt because we need truth, and we need to know truth is true. And the whole point of that message was, if we don't believe it's true, we can get tripped up. If you can't remember the message, or you were here at the time, and just to recall that, we had a balloon, or a video of a balloon, and it had a red balloon in it. Look it up on YouTube. And it's like, is the balloon red? And all these other people came along and said, "Well, no, it's blue, it's green, it's whatever." Do you know, people can think and say all sorts of things, but the balloon was red. That was the truth. And this is God's word. We believe this is true. You might think lots of things about it, but God's word is true. The second thing we had, if you remember, was that breastplate of righteousness that is protecting our vital organs. You see, what's inside of us leaks out. Someone said it to me before, if you spend 5 minutes with someone, even a couple of minutes, and you go, "So, what do you know?" That's my favourite saying, "What do you know?" And that person, whatever's in their heart will come out in that moment, and you will find what is in that person's heart. And we need to be careful, because probably what's in our hearts, or what comes out of our hearts, is what we've put in. And actually, for our young people, we're talking at the time, if you watch scary movies, you fill your lives with all sorts of things, it leaks out. It shapes your life and how you behave. And last week, just to recap where we were briefly, our feet needed to be able to stand firm. Because we were talking about the gospel, it didn't talk about sandals in the scriptures. We tend to talk about sandals or boots or whatever. But actually, we needed to know that the good news is something that we might need to defend. Last week, we were saying that when we put this armor, it tells us to pray once it's on, but it says stand firm and stand firm. And sometimes we say, well, the feet that are shod, they've got the gospel of peace. It's because we've got to go. Of course we go with the gospel. But I think Paul is saying here is sometimes we've just got to stand firm. And sometimes, guys, we've got to defend the gospel. It is true. Stand firm and defend it. And more than that, it's not a one-time thing. If you remember in closing last time, I said we can preach the gospel to ourselves daily. This good news, do you preach the gospel to yourself daily? Or was that something you went, oh yeah, I remember that. That was back in wherever, or I give it to somebody else. Daily, the good news that God sent his son to come and pay that price so that you are no longer separated from him, but you have that restored relationship with him directly. No priest, nobody interceding. You can have that direct access to God. Wow. You can have that right now. Wow. I can speak to God right now. I mean, come on. And God's interested in me and he's got a plan for my life. It's got to be a wow moment. And this week, just in closing, you know, the shield of faith, it protects all of us. And it's not a blind faith. It's not something we go, oh, maybe or maybe not, or what we were saying earlier. This is based upon facts. And actually, we need to be prepared with those things, keeping our shields wet, essentially. If you're not picking up God's word on a daily basis, what are you prepared with? I often find, and I speak to lots of people that come up to me and say, Darren, that's really amazing. I was reading this today in my reading. You won't believe how this fits in with what God wants to say to me. And actually, I was talking to somebody who was on holiday recently, and they said, I know it was God speaking to me because it wasn't, although it was the verse of the day, and somebody else had the same verse of the day, my verse of the day was from last year because I'm a year behind myself with my reading notes, while you reuse them. And God speaks to us in our notes, but are you engaging with it daily? Or have you got some dry old shield that the fiery darts come and it catches fire? Look, in closing, obviously I want to speak to you guys about your marriage this morning and blessing you, as not just today, but for all your days. And I think it's just interesting with all the armor we're told to put on is that we recognize there are many battlegrounds, and that was good to bring that. You know, there are tests and there are challenges. Remember, Jesus loves us. Jesus has paid the price, but there is an accuser. And he comes and he wants to deceive and he wants to accuse and he is the father of lies. But there's many soldiers here today. And you two, that two that become one flesh, you become something extra powerful. Some things that you couldn't do on your own before, you are now going to do because of your marriage. And I love what says in Ephesians 5, as you spoke, Addy, there. You know, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, it says, and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, Paul says, and I put it in your notice sheets this morning, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. You see, the Old Testament saints didn't understand the church. Church was a mystery. God hadn't revealed it until the New Testament. But we as God's people, that body, as his church now, we understand these things. But we know there's an enemy that's battling. And he will be battling. And he'll be trying to get hold of your marriage. He wants to destroy anything, I believe, that displays the beauty of God, that displays that image of God, that beautiful picture that speaks of Christ and his church. So therefore, when the two become one flesh that reveal that profound mystery of Christ and his church, you guys have got another stronghold. You've got another place of refuge that you didn't have before. And the beauty of that is with a place of refuge that can bring others into a safe place. And I think you guys will have that privilege. And I know, Addy, as I've heard you speak and I've heard you pray, you speak and you pray with authority. And I just want to say, God, empower this man with that. And for the rest of us here, I just pray that if you know God and you know his word, that he would empower you with that. That same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that is at work in us. That's pretty awesome power. It's better than anything I can conjure up. Addy, I believe God wants to say that to you. And in closing this morning, whether you're married, whether you're single, that shield is designed to cover your whole being, to protect you from anything the enemy throws at you. But it's also a weapon. I mentioned you can push back with this as well. You can push him back. You can stop those fires from spreading further. You have the privilege of protecting others. And in the reading that we had today, that miracle, that first miracle, that water into wine, when you see something and you know that it was true, it builds our faith. And I love right at the end, it says the disciples knew, the disciples had seen this and they believed. Have you seen the wonders of God? Do you believe? Do you believe? You know, when you see those things, is it fairy tales? Or have you seen the miracles of God? Have you seen the power of God at work? So Nalin and Addy, I just want to bless you this morning. Pick up that shield of faith. It's where we are in our series, but I think it speaks perfectly for you in your marriage. See the wonders of God at work in your lives. With him, anything is possible. Anything's possible. Therefore, we've got to stand firm. Stand firm with that steadfast force in your marriage so that the kingdom of God might come. And to the rest of us, I'll just finish with these words. It says, look, look, and look again at the wonders of our God. If you haven't picked up his word, pick it up. Start in Mark's gospel. Don't start at the beginning because you'll go, what's that all about? And then there's loads of lists. Get into Mark's gospel and read what it's about. Get in there and find out who this God is. Look, look, and look again at what our God has done. We sung the words earlier. He's greater, he's stronger, he's more powerful. That is our God. And I believe that gives you a shield that you can say, this is my God. This is what he says. It is written.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.